they're playing my song. And when they're playing my song, everybody's got a shh, shh, shh. Magic of words is weaving its spell around this room. Nobody's dancing, they're all too entranced. Just listening to the perfect way my words fit that tune. Right now,
baby. You know, I want to keep letting that play because it makes me feel so good to hear Lucy Arnaz. Lucy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks. That's a great way to start off the day.
Well, appreciate you know, that, I'll tell you, listening, in researching for this interview, and I've told you, I follow you on in social media, but in researching for the interview, I've heard all these clips, and you have been making us feel good in show business for, can I say it now?
Yeah, over 50 years.
That's amazing!
I know, it's amazing. It is kind of... Well, when you start at 15, you know, it's just, that's the way it is. But, yeah, it's been one hell of a ride, as they say, from Seesaw.
Yeah, right. And, okay, we can name all the Broadway shows. I won't, because that's all I would be doing. I'm sure radio, I'm sure you're interviewed all the time, and people introduce you with this long list of credits, and it would take forever to go through. Here's what I will say.
Save the time.
Yeah, exactly. I'll say this. It began with The Lucy Show, which, of course, starred this lady named Lucille Ball, and then continued all the way past, but including Pippin, where you were upside down, literally, I believe, in half the show. So that's
the show, one number. One wonderful dance trapeze number in the middle of the song, which was pretty astounding to be able to do that. Yeah. No wires, no nets, just me and this amazing acrobat who happened to be from the Ukraine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you're offered a role. You are, at that point, not 22 years of age.
Right.
Why did you say, okay, I'm ready for it?
Which role? What are you talking
about?
I'm talking
about
you mean like on The Lucy Show?
No, the Upside Down Pippin Show.
Oh, 63 at 63.
That's what I mean.
Can you imagine? I thought you said not 22. Well, you know what? Why not? I had seen the show, and I was totally blown away by it. It was the best moment in the show. I mean, I'm not stupid. I go, wow, if I could learn how to do that, I'd get more applause than anybody. Right? Because she did. And I thought, but I don't know. I don't know if I can do it. And they said, well, come play with us for a day and see if what you feel like. And so I did. I went down and... You know, they put you up on the trapeze and they try you out for see how flexible you are and are you afraid of this or that. And I wasn't and I liked it. And they said, listen, we've trained all these ladies who were not acrobats. If you give us 3 weeks with the normal preparation time, you'll be able to do this. And I just trusted them and it worked. And it's the coolest accomplishment of my entire career, probably. You know,
really?
Learning how to do that. Sure. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, I didn't know you'd say that, but I brought it up because, I mean,
It was. It was pretty amazing. I mean, I've always been sort of brave in saying, yeah, because I guess it's the way I started. You know, I didn't have a lot of formal training by the time I was 15. I was in school. I wasn't doing that much. And I was on a television show that did a lot of musical numbers and a lot of crazy things. And people would just, the writers would say, next week you're going to go up, out into the valley every night after rehearsal and learn how to ride dressage. Like, what? On a horse, right? So I'm going to do that for a month just so I can do a TV show with Wayne Newton on horseback. Or I'm going to learn how to do an authentic hula, so that I can look legit, you know, when I do this show about Hawaii. And tap dance. I didn't know how to tap dance. Well, you will. Next week you're going to have the tap guys going to come. And so I was always about, well, just say yes and show up and do what they say and see if you can learn that. And so this was just another opportunity, really, to learn something wonderful.
And another example of that was doing the Charleston with none other, because you...
Oh, well, that was easy.
Well, hang on, let me finish,
though.
You can't
do the Charleston.
With none other than Ginger Rogers,
Ginger Rogers. The Charleston's the Charleston, you know, it's pretty simple.
But many, many, many years later, this is what I'm getting to, last year, that number from Here's Lucy from, like, 1972 went viral.
Yeah. It did. I know somebody found it and threw it out there, and they put it to a new hot record from today, and... It was fun, more so because Ginger, that was an interesting show, actually. The actors were supposed to go on strike that week, and we found out on a Monday, and our show was on Thursday, so we shot the entire show on Tuesday without an audience, first time we've ever done that, and the last time we ever did that. And so we had to choreograph that ourselves. We just threw it together and said, we're going to do this, and then I'll do that, and then I'll come forward, and you do that. What music? Well, we're going to use this music. It was great. I mean, it was really like, you know, Mickey and Judy put on a show, or, you know, USO time.
It was Single Girls, the name of the song.
Yeah, right. That's what they put it to. Yes.
It worked perfectly. And you can go to YouTube and see that anytime, anywhere.
Yeah.
According to your social media, you were at the Academy Awards, correct?
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to ask you about the slap. That'll always be. I want to ask you about some other moments. One was with Liza Minnelli, who, you know, it must have been incredibly touching in the theater. Have we overlooked how special? I'm talking about the moment with Lady Gaga.
I think it was a terrible moment myself.
Really?
I have to tell you. Yeah. I thought that Liza deserved better than that. It was, if it's true what Lady Gaga said, it was the 50th anniversary of Cabaret. I think they should have shown a clip of Cabaret. They should have brought her out on a pallet, you know, a moving set piece, sitting backwards on a Cabaret mein Herr, you know, chair type of a thing, looking fabulous in some great outfit. And giving her a standing ovation as here she comes, Liza Minnelli, ladies and gentlemen. And then if, yes, you want to bring out Lady Gaga dressed like the Master of Ceremonies, which is basically what she was doing, it to say, like, all the words and then hand her the envelope, how classy would that have been? I love Liza too much to see her presented in a less than fabulous way, and I thought that was less than sneaking her out in a wheelchair, giving her words to read that she was confused by. And then having every time that Lady Gaga leaned down to her and said something, it only, you know, imprinted the thought in our brain that she's not standing. And I just thought it was, you know, that's the director in me. I don't know. I went, oh, what? And compared to the slap, sure, we go, well, there's humanity there, and that's lovely. But let's pretend the slap didn't happen. We didn't know the slap was going to happen. If you're producing that show, really? Is that the way you're going to, you know? It's just, I didn't like it, so call me crazy.
No, that's you speak your mind, and that's not a bad
thing. I mean,
thing.
I didn't like it for those reasons, not because I thought that she was, for all the reasons I thought, it was pathetic what they tried to do. I thought she deserved better. I mean, they celebrated the 28th anniversary of frickin', what was it? The oh God, I always forget the name of the movie. You know, the
with Al Pacino coming out and
no, Al Pacino was the Godfather.
Yeah.
That was 50th anniversary.
Okay.
The other one with John Travolta and Samuel Jackson.
Right.
See, nobody remembers the name.
give me until the commercial break.
It's a horrible movie with lots of blood. But they celebrated that, and it was only the 28th anniversary, and they made a big deal out of that. And for Liza, they did, like, basically nothing.
Well, speaking of John Travolta, I'll throw this one by you. So there came Jamie Lee Curtis when Betty White's image came up there with a puppy. Now, that was also a nice moment, I thought. Did it feel like a nice moment there?
Yeah, absolutely. She did a good thing. She did a good thing. That was great of her to do that. For Betty, Betty would have loved that. She would have adored that. Yeah.
Indeed, she would have. Pulp Fiction,
that's the name of that picture I was trying to think
Thank
of.
You Thank for you for that. Thank you.
So you can sleep tonight.
Thank you. Now I can. It's 1:17 on WGN. Talking with Lucy Arnaz, who's back out on the road, as so many performers are. We'll talk about what she's doing back out on the road next. And I'm honored to talk to this lady on the phone.
They say I'm Cuban Pete. I'm the craze of my native street. When I start to dance, everything goes chick-chicky-boom, chick-chicky-boom.
That's Lucy Arnaz, 50 years in showbiz plus. Lucy, so many questions to ask you about your back out on the road. I know. That's got to feel good.
Oh, it does. I mean, my gosh. It felt strange, really, very strange, after 2 years and change, just to be in front of an audience again. I mean, it felt wonderful and bizarre because it's really, as we were talking, since I was 15, I've not been out of work. I mean, there have been months where you're not doing something specifically, but you know something's coming up or you're rehearsing or you're reading scripts or whatever. But this is the first time it was just like, who am I? And you literally kind of forget how you do what you do. And especially for creative people, this is everything. You know, we don't know who we are if we're not doing that. I mean, I did other things, and I have grandchildren now, which was kind of a wonderful thing, and one of them moved close to me, so I threw myself into that, and I threw myself into some of the producing and the Desilu 2 hats that I wear and all those things. But still, just to be back out doing what I really love is such a blessing.
Well, one thing, you're going to be out, way out. You're going to Kenya, and I.
Yeah.
And according to what
everywhere.
I read, theoretically, I could go with you, which would louse up your trip. Well, I don't know that.
No, you can. It's craft tours, and we are going on a 10-day trip. I was able to pick any place that they went to go, and I've never been on a safari. So yeah, it's a gig. I literally do a show in Nairobi one night, a big formal show, beautiful stage, sound, lights, the whole nine yards. And then I join everybody else on this marvelous tour where we see elephants and chimpanzees and giraffes in all of their habitat. And then we do a 5-day safari. And it's only 40 people on the tour. And it's very elegant and kind of wonderful. I just don't know how this came my way, but I'm thrilled to death. And it was supposed to be, of course, this past year, but they had to push it another year. So, yeah, looking forward to that. February 8th, I think it is, for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Craft tour.
Yep. Lucy Arnaz, Lucy, L-U-C-I-E, Arnaz.com for further information about that. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. People have texted in lots of different questions. Of course, many of those questions about the resurgence, it seems, of your parents, Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. You know, I mean, the show won't go away. I Love Lucy in particular. All the Lucy shows are still on, but yeah. I Love Lucy in particular. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions here simply is, why do you think that your parents are so popular still?
Well, you never know what people pick out about all the things that are good about that show. I can guess that there are a couple of reasons. First of all, A, it's funny and it makes you laugh, and we really need to do that. This is a stressful world we live in. It always has been in some form or another, but it's particularly stressful now, I think.
Yeah.
And laughter, you know, relieves stress. It's the best stress reliever on the planet, and they've studied it. It's medically proven to make you better. The endorphins in your T cells go up, and you get more, you know, oxygen to your brain, and it's actually medically a good thing to laugh, hearty laugh. So any show that makes you laugh hard is a good thing for you. The way that show was written was so brilliant. It was so beautifully constructed that those writers decided to put the Lucy Ricardo character in some completely unbelievable situations. And yet we believed them because of the way it was constructed, that somehow we believed that point A led to point B into C and then, oops, D. And we go with her because of that. And then I think the most important reason, and I've said this before, but to me, at the end of the crazy is someone who says, I love you anyway. You're forgiven. And I think down deep inside, subconsciously, that's what we all need. We all want that in our life. And so watching the show makes us feel good. Medically, it makes us feel good because the laughter is virtually the best thing that we can do. And psychologically, it makes us feel good because it means you can screw up as bad as you can even imagine, and somebody can love you still.
I think 8,700,612 interviews you've done over the past several months. And over and over and over, people have asked you about Lucille Ball, Desi Arnaz, who happen to be your parents.
Right.
What might it be, something that we don't know, that you've not talked about? So I'm putting you on the spot. About your dad, about your mom.
Geez, I have no idea. As you say, I've been asked so many times, who remembers every single thing that I've said? Because it all depends, as you know, on what you just got asked. I think people know a lot about them and continue to learn again and again. These shows that just kind of came at us over the last 6 years, the idea for the film that was brought to me, and then I said, okay, the relationship between Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz is a fascinating story, and how they fell in love and why they fell in love and what they were able to create together and then why they weren't able to stay together. And so we asked Aaron Sorkin to write it. He didn't actually end up writing that. He ended up writing something quite different, but the essence of it was beautiful and wonderful. Then right behind him was, Ron Howard's company and White Horse Pictures that wanted to tell a documentary version, much like mine was in 93, but they wanted to look at it again and really explore the rest of the story that Aaron did not decide to tell. So that was kind of magical that happened. And I'm a little, you know, I believe in metaphysics and things, and I kind of think that my parents were manipulating a lot of this from above or wherever they are.
Do you really?
I kind of feel there's a hand in it, yeah. I think there's a hand in it to make sure that the story is set. Because I think the idea of telling their story was a great one, and yet when it got told, I'm talking about the film, as brilliant as that film was, and the acting was terrific, and the script was wonderful, and it made me laugh, and it was sad, and all this, but it didn't really cover the ground that we intended it to cover. And then this offer came in for them to do a documentary again after 20-some years, you know, since I did mine. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? Because now it doesn't matter that the film didn't cover the ground it was supposed to cover, because this will cover it. And it did. And it was also beautifully done. I'm talking about Lucy and Desi, which is a documentary that is also on Amazon. And the film is on Amazon as well, being the Ricardos. So that was great. And I had found these wonderful radio shows of my mother's from 1964 and 65. I found them years ago. But it was only just while we were putting together the materials for the documentary for Amy Poehler, who directed it, that I relocated these tapes from these radio shows. And I thought, you know, I don't even know, who did she interview? I mean, how many of shows are there? And I looked at them, what? You're kidding me. And I started listening to them because we had digitized copies. That was like a treasure trove of information. And then Amy was able to use my mother's voice to talk about her life. And we had similar tapes of my dad's when he was writing his autobiography. It's just kind of like, little by little, it's like an archaeological dig. You know, year after year, you find another piece of the puzzle. And yeah. There's probably a lot that people don't know about my parents, but I don't know people. So I don't know what they don't know.
Well, I have some hints, actually, but we are, believe it or not, out of time, and I wish I could spend so much
more
time.
Oh, shoot, after all it took for you to get me to get this right and call you on the right day and everything, we'll have to do it again then, Steve.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
Okay, you name the day and we'll do part two.
Are you kidding? I would love to do that. And the question, one of the questions I didn't get to is, what does success, surviving success, really means? And we don't have time for you to answer, but the good news is, that's a radio tease if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, I've got a good answer for that for next time.
I bet she does. Lucy Arnaz, with eternal gratitude, thank you so much for the entertainment you have brought us for over 50 years. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Steve. I really enjoyed this interview.